Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you again. I have no idea when the last time we were here. I really don't remember, but seems like it's been a long time, but life's been very busy lately, so that makes things seem like a long time ago. Maybe it wasn't that long. But it's good to be here this morning. We ordered this nice day, by the way, so you can... but very pleasant and enjoyable. Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 14 verses and then like to concentrate on verses 9 through 11. Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 1 to have a little background and context. Colossians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, and it has also, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is among you, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of His saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, as we turn our attention now to your word, we just ask this morning that you may take away other things out of our minds, the things that preoccupy our minds and our thinking. We ask that you would just take them away this morning, and may we give full attention to your precious word. May we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our hearts and in our lives, that we may understand and that we may apply to our own lives the things that we will look at and study this morning. We just ask that you would teach us, that you would fill us with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We ask this in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the book of Colossians, of course, was written to a group of saints in a place called Colossae. And judging from what we read here in the first part of this chapter, the church was in good shape, so to speak. Spiritually, they were doing well. And this was an assembly that Paul himself had never been to, as we would read this. He had never, apparently, had never visited there. He did not find this assembly. So he had heard things, as he says in verse 4, since we heard of your faith. And he says that, you know, their faith in the truth, in the gospel, it's producing fruit, and that's good commendation. But as you continue to read in this epistle, and especially as you go into chapter 2, we also realize that Paul had some concerns, some very serious concerns about this particular assembly and some of the false teachings error that was being taught, that he was concerned that would infiltrate the church and perhaps was even within it. And as we read chapter 2, we're alerted to those things. So as Paul thought about these people and meditated on this group of Christians, he says here that he prays always for them in verse 3. Even though he didn't know them, even though he had never met them, yet he had heard about them, and of course, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was precious to the apostle. We learn that from reading other scriptures about him throughout the New Testament, that this was heavy upon his heart and a concern upon his heart. Not only the churches that he had founded and had led folks to the Lord and they began to meet as an assembly, but also ones that he had never heard of were also very precious to him. So, as we read in verse 9 then, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So they were always on his mind. And I wonder how true that is of you and me. When we even think of individuals, do we have one another on our minds? And do we pray for one another? Is that the kind of thinking that occupies our minds? That we would be that concerned for one another and for one another's assemblies, local assemblies, that we would be praying one for another? Well, that's what occupied this, the Apostle Paul's mind. But what I want us to focus on this morning is what he actually prayed for. What was his request? And then we want to look at what the result of that request would be. We find the request in verse 9. He says, "We do not cease to pray for you and to ask." Now here's what he's asking. "To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." I believe whatever we read after that, verses 10 and 11, are really subordinate to that. He is asking for one main thing for this group. And he's not asking for material blessing, is he? And he's not asking for wealth. And he's not asking that everyone would be nice to them. And he's not asking for lack of persecution. But what he's asking for is one thing, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because Paul realized that if that could be realized, and if that could be accomplished in their lives, then these other things would follow. And we'll look at those in a little bit. And I'd just like to spend some time thinking about the request that he asked. We have prayer meetings. We all have prayer meetings in our local assemblies. Maybe there's other times of prayer when you may get together with individuals. But I would like to challenge us this morning, how often do we have a prayer request like this? We pray for many things, and things that are good, and things that are valuable and important. But how often do you hear a prayer request that someone would be filled with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? That is so crucial and it's so important for each one of us. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Look at several verses concerning wisdom, the knowledge of God. Of course, those things are tied together, aren't they? That we would be filled with the knowledge of His will, and that we would be filled with wisdom, that we would be filled with spiritual understanding. All those things are tied together and they're linked together. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Actually, let's go back to verse 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Turn to chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. And of course, all those pronouns are speaking of wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. Here's a real command. Here's an exhortation. Get wisdom. Get understanding. It's not an option. It's not something we should just think about and, oh, it would be nice to have the wisdom of God. Here's a command. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And then further on it says, not to forsake. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. A very well-known verse, I'm sure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's where it all begins, isn't it? With the fear of the Lord. And that doesn't mean, of course, to just be shaking in His presence, to be afraid, to be fearful that something will happen, and that kind of fear that makes us shake. But it's a reverence, it's an awe, it's a respect for God. And really, if you look very closely at the words that we read in Colossians, what Paul is actually praying for these Christians, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. He is asking not that they just have wisdom to make a decision in life. I mean, that's a result. That's a byproduct of what he's asking. What he's asking is that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That is, they would be controlled by it. They would be dominated by it. Saturated by the knowledge of His will. How can we do that? How can we accomplish that? We don't accomplish that by coming up to a crisis in life and praying to the Lord for wisdom in a situation. He's asking for more than that. He's asking that these Christians would be filled with God and would be filled with His knowledge. And the only way that can be accomplished is to know who God is and to know what the Bible says about Him, to study His attributes, to learn who He is, to learn what His character is, how He operates. I wonder if that's the kind of things we're teaching. Is that the kind of things we possess in our own lives? Is that the kind of things we're passing on to our children? Here is God, and we teach the knowledge of God and the understanding of God. Well, it begins with what Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So you see what Paul is praying here in Colossians isn't just for a little bit of wisdom so they can get through life. He's praying that they would be filled with God in their lives. And it'll be outworked in what he goes on to say here that we'll look at in a little bit. Think also of Proverbs chapter 3, another very well-known couple of verses, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Verse 7 goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. And how often when we need to make life decisions, do we try to lean on our own understanding? Lean on what we think is right, what we hope is right, what we hope will be the best, rather than seeking the mind of God. Boy, how important this is that we teach this to young people, to our children, and also in our assemblies, that we teach this principle and that we have this prayer for young people growing up in this world where they are oppressed by our society, which is crazy with pleasure and crazy with wealth and attaining wealth and getting rich and having things. All the things that would strip away spiritual character. That's what the world is pressing upon our young people. We need to pray this for them, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will, that they can make proper decisions in life, God-honoring decisions, decisions that would bring them blessings. Not just accomplish a lot of wealth and achieve a position and yet not have anything for God. Turn back in your Old Testament again to 1 Kings chapter 3. And again, this is a very familiar portion, but I just want to bring it to our attention because it fits. It fits with what Paul is praying here, what he's asking. Of course, this is a section that has to do with Solomon. He became king, and at least at the outset, he was a very humble man, the kind of person God would want as a king. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3 says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give to you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now here's Solomon's answer to what was asked of him. What shall I give you? Verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to come in or how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous and to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And of course, the Lord said to him, verse 11, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life, nor have asked for riches, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern. And he goes on to say, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you after you. And then he went on to say also that riches and honor would be his. Now, of course, this we also have this in 2 Chronicles. And what Solomon says there, it's worded a little bit differently. His answer to the request, as recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 10, is, now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? So what he was asking for was an understanding heart. He was asking for discernment. He was asking for wisdom. He was asking for the mind of God, that he may be able to do what God had given him to do. And that is in line with what Paul is asking here in this prayer request. Because there's no way we can demonstrate the wisdom of God and know what the will of God is without the knowledge of God. We must know who God is. We must learn of Him. We must understand how He thinks and know His character. Back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. That you may be filled, that is controlled, dominated, saturated, brought to completeness with the knowledge of His will. In two ways, in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. And again, these wisdom is taking the knowledge, the facts about God. We can learn that God is holy. And we can memorize 10 verses that say God is holy. But until we take that and we understand what that means to God and apply it to our own lives in real life situations, we haven't used wisdom. We've only accumulated facts. So you see, he's praying that there would be wisdom, that there would be taking the knowledge, the facts about God, who He is and what He commands, and putting them into our lives. And then secondly, spiritual understanding. And again, this is more than just head knowledge. It's insight. Now, one has said it's the power of comprehension. It's the ability to comprehend, to do what is right based on who God is and what we know of God and what we have learned of God. So there's insight there into the mind of God. So this is Paul's request. Boy, how we need that in our lives. And again, how our young people desperately need that in their lives. That somehow as they grow up, they would get off the fast track that America has given them and is showing them. And that they would instead look to the Word of God, look to the things of God, look to the people of God, look to God Himself, that they may be wise, that they may gain spiritual understanding, that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Well, what will happen? What will happen if this indeed is prayed for, and if God grants? What can we expect to see in life? See, I don't think verses 10 and 11 are further prayer requests that Paul is asking, but I believe it's a result of what will happen when they are filled and when we are filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. What will happen? Well, several things. Five things we'll look at. First of all, you will walk worthy of the Lord. To walk worthy of the Lord. In other words, to conduct oneself in a worthy manner. To be suitable. Now, God expects certain behavior from us, doesn't He? Based on what He has given us in His Word. Based on who He is. Just as we read in 1 Peter, the Lord is holy, therefore be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. If that is His character, that should be our character. And so it should be in our Christian lives. Paul mentioned this in several places, that you walk worthy of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, in Ephesians, he said the same thing. Walk worthy, in Ephesians, he says, of the vocation to which you were called. We are people of God. We should be people of higher standards. We should be people who are more sensitive to sin and corruption. We are people who should be filled with the things of God, that we would want to do good, that we would want to please the Lord. As it says here in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. We want to please God. You know, that's an interesting phrase when you think about it. To think that you and I, who are no more than sinners saved by grace, that we actually can be pleasing to God. In our lives, in our behavior, in what we do, in our walk, which is our conduct, our lifestyles, how we live, how we think, what we do, what we say, we can actually be pleasing to the God of heaven. And therefore we can be a testimony to the world around us. And you see, that is a byproduct, that is a result, if we are filled with the knowledge of His will, and if we are filled with wisdom, and if we are filled with spiritual understanding, then we will walk worthy of the Lord and we will be pleasing to Him. Well, secondly, it will not only affect our walk and our conduct, but we'll be fruitful, as it says here, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful. And that is the thing, isn't it, that separates profession of faith from possession. The Lord Jesus Himself said, "You shall know them by their fruit." And if there's a person who professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and bears no fruit, certainly that profession is suspect. God knows. But at least to the human eye, it would be suspect of not being true. Think of the words of the Lord in John chapter 15. He really says that's what we're supposed to be doing. Bearing fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear forth more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, that they are burned. Verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." So God wants us to bear fruit. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you." We have been appointed to go forth and to bear fruit for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we are filled with the knowledge of His will, and there's wisdom in our lives, and there's spiritual understanding, you see, a result of that will be walking with the Lord, and it'll be bearing fruit. Being fruitful in every good work. Well, there's a third result. As this prayer would be answered in our lives, that there would be growth. The last part of verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's very similar to the phrase in verse 9, but the phrase there was the knowledge of His will. Here it is increasing in the knowledge of God. That we would learn of God. I really believe we are a reservoir that God can expand. The more we learn, the more God can teach us. The more we understand about God, the greater, the bigger our reservoir. And the more we can understand. And so that is growth, isn't it? Think back, if you can, to when you became a Christian. What did you know? What did you know about God? I'm sure there's folks here this morning been saved for 50, 60, maybe more years. Think what you knew when you first became a Christian. Think what you know now about God. Think what you've experienced and what you've learned over life as you've lived for Him and you've studied His Word. You have increased in the knowledge of God, and that's what God desires. That's the prayer that Paul prays here. This prayer has many results and many ramifications to it. And one of them is to increase in the knowledge of God, growth. And what he's really getting at here is reaching full growth. Again, not just to accumulate all kinds of facts about God, but to experience God, to know God, to understand God. I'm sure all of us have been challenged by people. If we witness to them and we say something about God, bring up the person of God, and of course they don't believe in Him, they have nothing for God, and you try to explain the gospel, you try to explain who God is and how He works and how He operates, and they don't even begin to understand because there's no life there, and there's no spiritual perception. There's no understanding. There's no insight to who God is. Because they've not been born again. But you and I, we have been born again. If we know Christ is our Savior. And growth now is possible. And in fact, it's what God wants. He wants us to increase in the knowledge of Himself. That we may grow up. Ephesians would tell us this. Chapter 3. This is another prayer that Paul is asking, or another prayer that he is stating. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. And he ends up really coming to the same conclusion here. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge. Now notice this next phrase, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's really what is being asked here in Colossians. Increasing in the knowledge of God that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Filled to capacity, and then God can increase that reservoir and we can be filled more. Well, there's a fourth result of this prayer. It's found in verse 11. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened. You see, if we are filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, it'll affect our walk, our fruit bearing, our growth, and we will be strengthened in the inner man. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 3. We just read there that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might, through His Spirit in the inner man. The inner man, the innermost part of who we are. That is where our strength would be. That's where our strength would reside. We read in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 4, about the outward man perishes, decays, grows old, diseased, injured, afflicted. The outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. The part of us that is the important part of us, the part of us who really is who we are, can be strengthened, can be empowered. Literally, you could translate that first part of verse 11, empowered with all power. It's kind of a play on words. Empowered with all power. Whose power? Mine? Can I muster up all this strength? Can I muster up this power? Can I be tough enough in and of myself to go through the situations and the tribulations of life? No, that's not it at all. Notice the next phrase, according to His glorious power. So we are to be empowered with all power according to His glorious power. Not according to our own physical strength. Or we say people are emotionally strong. Or this person's strong. What do we really mean by that? Well, if it means that God working through them has made them strong, that's what it's all about. But if we just mean, well, a person can do such and such because of, well, that's just the way they are, naturally, that's to miss the whole thing here. The whole idea. This is an inner strength that comes from within. Because we are children of God. Because we are connected to God. Because we have been born again. Because we have taken on His nature. And now we have His power and His resources within us that can help us through life and can strengthen us in the inner man. And then one last thing. A result of this prayer, a fifth thing, would be endurance. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Those two words, patience and long suffering, are very similar in their meaning. And it doesn't mean just to put up with something. But it means steadfastness, perseverance, endurance, keeping on, going on. Why? Again, not because we're mentally tough, or because we're physically strong, or because we have youth on our side or whatever, but because it is God within us who gives us endurance. We keep on plugging on because God is within us. He has given us perseverance and He gives us endurance. He gives us steadfastness because we know that our work for the Lord will not be in vain. Our labor for the Lord, labor to the point of exhaustion and toil to the point of exhaustion will not go unnoticed by the Lord. And you see, it's those kinds of things that build endurance and build perseverance. And we keep on going on because we believe God and we trust God and we wait to see God and we don't just sit down and we don't quit. Because God is working in us. You see, one of the biggest problems that was facing these Christians at Colossae was an error in teaching that basically came down to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was not sufficient for one's life. He's not sufficient. And what Paul was trying to get across in this letter is that He is sufficient. And that we are complete in Him, as he says in chapter 2. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is in Christ. He is the empowerment, the person, the fullness of God bodily. God in flesh. All that God is, the Lord Jesus Christ is. And then verse 10 says, and you, Christian, you are complete in Him. We are complete in the One who is the fullness of God. So how could it be that the Lord Jesus Christ is not sufficient? He is sufficient. He is sufficient for salvation. He is sufficient for living. So Paul, in opening this letter, introducing this letter, prays this most important prayer. And I would like to challenge us to think about this as we think of prayer requests. And we list them on a paper or however we do our prayer times. Let's include this. That we would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Because to be filled with the knowledge of His will has many results to it. Results that will make us strong as Christians. And again, how we desperately need to remember our young people in this day and age that as they grow up, they would learn to make decisions in life based on who God is. Decisions that would please the Lord, and it may cause them sacrifice. It may cause them friends or loss of friends. It may cause them ridicule. But they would be making decisions based on what the Bible teaches and based on who and what God is. And you and I need to be examples of that in our own lives, that we might live our lives in accordance with that truth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look to You this morning, Father, we humble ourselves and we realize that we only love You because You have first loved us. And we realize, Father, that who we are in this life is only because of what You have made us. For I am what I am by the grace of God. Father, as we've thought about this section of Your Word, we would certainly echo this prayer for ourselves, that we would all be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, help us to take that in. Help us to experience that in our daily lives. May we pray that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we pray that for those who are under heavy loads and heavy burdens, spiritually put out, those who really need encouragement, may we lift up this prayer that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Father, we do ask and pray for our young people, for our children, that as they grow in this life, in a life, in a world, in a society that would just take them right away from the things of God and substitute pleasures and sinful activities for the truth of the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that they may have the knowledge of His will, and that they may have wisdom, and that they may have spiritual understanding. Father, grant them the mind of God, that they may pattern their young lives as Daniel of old, that he purposed in his heart that he would follow God. So, Lord, we realize all of us are a needy people. We all need Your help. We all need Your sustaining power in these days in which we live. We ask that You would grant these things to us, that we might be a testimony, that we might be what You would have us to be, that we might be pleasing in Your sight. We do ask Your blessing upon this group of Christians assembled here at Greenwood Hills. Father, in many prayer requests that have gone forth and the needs that are great and many, may You meet each one in a particular way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.